Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to pick up where I left off yesterday at the end of a section in the first chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Colossians. It's a beautiful prayer, and Paul's reminding the community in Colossae of what Christ has accomplished for them and the victory that he's won for them, the combat, the battle. He said that he has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption and the forgiveness of sins. This season of Lent that we've entered into is, as I've said, and I hope to say it many more times over the next few weeks, this is a time of spiritual combat. It's a time to overcome temptation. It's a time to do penance for our sins, to express sorrow for sin, and get serious and get after what the church is leading us into. This is, in some ways, when the church is at her best, when she humbles herself, when we recognize and we live in the actual worldview that we've received from Jesus. And that is the understanding that life is short. It's a passing shadow. We're here today. We're gone tomorrow. We're headed for eternity. And it could come very quickly. Just a friend of mine not long ago, a month and a half ago, went into the doctor. Guy's in 70 years old, healthy in many ways. I think battling different kinds of minor skin cancer, went in to see the doctor. The doctor notices a kind of growth with fluid in it that doesn't look good, that needs to be tested. They test it. Turns out he has leukemia, and he's got it bad, and it needs to be dealt with immediately. Total surprise, just like that. The doctor says, we'll have to give you the nuclear. We'll have to just give you everything against this particular kind of cancer. And because of the health that you're in, that you're in good, solid health, otherwise there's a good chance that 70% this thing could go into remission. So he's thinking, wow, I have this opportunity, but they want to do a few more tests. He comes back a day or two later for the results, and it turns out he has two kinds of blood cancer at the same time, simultaneously, super, super rare. And the doctors look at him and say, that being the case, there's literally nothing we can do for you that will help you. You need to get your affairs together and get ready, because you're going to be dead within 4 to 6 weeks. Bam, just like that. A guy who thought he was healthy otherwise, bam, there it is. Is he ready to go is the question. This gentleman is ready to go. He's a wonderful man, as far as I know, as far as I can tell, right? Only God knows ultimately. But he certainly has lived the life of a disciple in a very serious way. And the question is, as Paul said in this reading as I ended the program yesterday from Colossians, am I living a life worthy of the Lord? Am I living a life, he says, that's fully pleasing to him? Is my life bearing fruit? Because how can I tell? It will happen on the day of judgment that the truth about my life, whether or not I was seeking to live a life worthy of the Lord and growing in the knowledge of him, as St. Paul said, and really doing my part in yielding to his grace and the Holy Spirit and through the help of the church to make war and do spiritual combat against sin in my own life, to bring my life under the lordship of Jesus and to align my life more into a full obedience and a full love of God in this world rather than stopping at a kind of minimalistic level. And as St. John Paul II used to say, which many, many of the baptized are living, a kind of Christian minimalism, he said it leaves us in a position of being Christians at risk. We're risking everything. We're risking eternity because we're shooting for the minimum because our heart's not in it. We put a toe in the water. We're not going after it. We prefer to stay in the twilight. We want to say, oh, I don't want to be in the pitch dark. But then again, I don't want to be in the light either because it seems like a lot more fun and a lot more freedom, a lot more autonomy, independence, and the like in the twilight. So I'm going to stay there. Well, the day will come on the day of judgment that living in the twilight, what grows in the twilight, friends? You need to come into the sunlight. Fruit's not going to grow in the twilight. It needs the sun. We need to come into the sun, into the bright light of the Son of God himself, and to live in that light. And that's our part, to just say yes to the grace of God that's at work in us, and with the brothers and sisters in the church to follow after Jesus, and to say each day, get on our knees to begin the day, say, Lord, I want to put you at the center of my life. I want to do today. I want to yield to the Spirit and do what you're leading me to do today, and begin the day with prayer. Make sacrifices. Get to Mass as often as you can. Get to confession, especially in the season of Lent. Find out, what is the Lord's will for my life, if you don't know it? He wants you to live in the directions, I've said this before in the program, the directions that his whole life took. Three fundamental directions: up to the Father, into the community of the disciples and Mary, and building that community here, that kingdom on earth, and then out to reach, to be a part of his great commission to seek and save the lost. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me to love you, to love the Father, to grow deeper in prayer. Help me to live in communion with the church and not just go in and just punch my ticket. Can you say in your life that you're living in some fashion with brothers and sisters in Christ where Jesus is the center of those relationships? Where you can speak about Jesus, where you can pray together when the opportunity comes or when you need to? Is it the kind of relationships where together you're living in the light, you're sharing your life, and you're honest with yourselves, your struggles, your sins, and you're helping one another? Mercy's coming from each one of you, one to another, and you're helping hold one another up, and you're encouraging each other to keep pressing on in the Lord. Is that happening? Is that the characteristics of your relationships with fellow Catholics and fellow Christians? Is it characterized, is it a band of men and women, of young and old, that are consciously, intentionally living under the Lordship of Jesus? To say, look, I've got a lot of things in this world I put my hands to, but let me tell you what's first in my life. Have you planted the flag of the King at the center of your life? Is he your standard? Are you rallying to that standard? That's what Lent's all about. I'm not raising these things to condemn anybody. I mean, I'm preaching to myself here. This is the season for us to trim our sails, to really ask ourselves honestly, is this really what I'm living for? I want to go to another section in Colossians chapter 2. I think I'm going to track it down here. It talks about living in the fullness of Christ and the amazing things that Christ has done for us. Listen to this. This is so beautiful. Starting in verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in baptism, right? By putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ, and you were buried with him in baptism, right? The work of Jesus began with you in baptism. This spiritual battle, it was fundamentally engaged in baptism when Jesus broke the power of original sin that's over your life and mine, and he gave us the Holy Spirit and united us to himself and gave us an opportunity now to actually have victory over the devil and his plan, his strategies for us. He said, in which you were raised with him through faith in the working of God. God did a work in you through baptism to raise you with Christ, to bring you to a new place as a son of God, as a daughter of God, as a disciple. He said, and you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that was your condition before baptism, dead in sin, God made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and powers, and he made a public example of them, triumphing over them in him. I want to just read from the footnote from the Ignatian Catholic Study Bible, the New Testament, which is a great Bible. If you want to get your hands on it, it's got a lot of wonderful commentary in the scriptures, but it talks about this legal bond. I'm going to read that section again. In Jesus' death on the cross, what did he do? He canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. Here's how the commentator describes it. A bond is a list of charges filed against the sinful human family. Christ destroyed this legal certificate on the cross when he canceled our debt of guilt and won pardon for our crimes. So Jesus knew why he came. He came to die. He came to become a sacrifice for sin. He came to break the bond, the debt, the legal debt that was over your life and mine because of sin. The price that had to be paid for that sin against God the Father, the whole human race was caught in it without hope. And so Jesus broke that bond and united you to that reality in baptism. If you're listening and you don't even know exactly what I'm talking about, you've never been baptized, I'm getting to the heart here. We're discussing the heart of what Christianity is all about. It's not just another philosophy. It's not just a generic world religion. It's not a moral system primarily. It's about a person. It's about Jesus and what he did for each and every one of us, including you. He came to do what you most needed. He came to help you in the way you most need it. He came to lead you out of a slavery to sin and separation from God, to break the power of alienation, to bring you into a living relationship, a life-transforming relationship with God the Father, to reveal to you that you have a Father, to show you that you were made by him and for him. And Jesus came to take away sin, is what the apostles tell us. Sin, that decision in us to go our own way, to refuse to hit the mark that the Lord has put before us. And so what Jesus did ultimately, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside by nailing it to the cross. That legal bond over your life is gone if you're baptized into Christ. He's asking you today, will you let me nail your sins to the cross? Will you let go of your sin? Even us, this is what Lent's about for us who are baptized already in Christ and disciples who've fallen into sin again and said yes to it, becoming enslaved to it at one level or another. Jesus is saying, will you give me your sin? Will you come into the light fully? Will you stop hiding and protecting your sin? Will you let me come with my light and power and set you free? I need your cooperation. I need your yes. And yes, not just with words. Show Jesus in this Lenten season your yes by how you live. Do penance. Express sorrow. Fast. Pray. Give alms. Giving alms, that is, give away part of your money to the poor, to those who need it most. Detach yourself from it. Shut off your phone. Get before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. Cry out to God. Love your wife, repent, ask forgiveness where you need it. Go to confession. Show Jesus, and he will take away your sin again and again and again and set you free. God bless you, friends. Have a great weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.